Good morning, and peace be with you. Hallelujah, he is risen. Amen. So I was talking to David this morning, and he's a whole lot brighter than I ever was at that age. And so I was asking him Bible questions. I said, they talk to you at school about, you know, Easter, and that Easter goes beyond just Easter Sunday. And yeah, and asked about Pentecost and when, because that's our Easter. This is the second Sunday of Easter today, and we go all the way to March and when Pentecost happens. And so, like a smart aleck father, I go, "Do you know what happens at Pentecost?" And he did, and I didn't know, you know, by then. So I'm a little bragging on my kid here. So, well done, David. Well done. His brother once said, "Dad, you know, I understand that you, when you're preaching and you use me as examples in there," he goes, "I wish you'd stop, because it's kind of bugging me." And so I haven't done that in a really long time, have I? Yes, Bob. Did he what now? He did not. He was 5:56 yesterday, 4:56 yesterday in the 16th. We had to scratch one of the things. Wasn't feeling great. So Crean Lutheran came in second in the Invitational yesterday. And so it was, they lost by 1 point for, but thank you for asking. So, and he looks thrilled that I'm talking about his performance on there too. He'll have more about it. I let you know what's going on. we're grateful. Yeah, he's asked me, you know, how fast can you run? We're grateful to have Diane back with us today. Hello, Diane. Thank you very much. The hymns today were actually chosen by you. I've been getting lists of things that people want to hear, and so Diane is gracious enough to she receive those. And so if you look in the bulletin, these are all have been suggested and asked for by congregate members. So let us belt these out as unto the Lord. Susan has announcements, and so I'll call her up for that. And without further ado, here's Susan.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Our mission this month is for the After the Rain Ministry. It's a group that does counseling. It's a Christian-based group that does counseling for people that are in need, and they're local here to Orange County. They have counseling, workshops, Bible studies, kind of whatever helps these people get through the night, and it's a really worthwhile kind of ministry. So if you feel driven to give to it, please do. Sit and Be Fit continues on Tuesday. We have Tuesday Bible studies. We're studying the first book of Samuel. And then the men's Bible study is on Saturday in the pastor's office at 8 o'clock. Next, this coming Saturday, we have a council meeting at 9:30, and everyone is welcome to join us if you'd like. As always, we could use a worship assistance, and if you feel like you can help out, talk to Ashley. And then if you have a praise report, talk to Ashley too. That can be put in the bulletin. And then Nick Galionitis, who works down at, I forget the name of the church, the Lutheran church in Newport. I think it's, I forget. Has been here for concerts before, given us piano concerts before, and he's going to be back on June 1st with celebrating the 100th anniversary of Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. So he's an amazing pianist, and I think you would enjoy it if you're able to come. And then Jan told me on the way in that she has an announcement that she would like to make. So.
Yes, I have a new great grandchild.
A new great-grandchild. Praise God. Ninth great grandchild. Praise God. Yay.
Okay, I think that's it, unless anybody else has.
I have one more thing. Oh, poor Karen gives me instructions, and I didn't even say anything, did I? If you look to the left, there are those beautiful lilies, and those are yours to take home, the people that donated them. And I'm sure there'll be some left over, so we could have a rescue effort and send them to a good home as well. Right, Karen? Okay. So after the service, grab a lily. Okay, yeah, not right now. Okay.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Please stand if you're able. We come together this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to God our Father, most merciful God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. This is the best part. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you. And for his sake, he forgives you all of your sins. And as your called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. The first reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, and can be found on page 1697 in the Pew Bible. This reading is titled, The Believers Share Their Possessions. Acts 4, 32 to 35. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerful at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it in the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. We'll read Psalm 148 responsibly, which is printed in your bulletin on page 6. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of his faithful servants, of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. The next reading is taken from the first book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 2, verse 2, and can be found on page 1898 in the Pew Bible. This chapter is titled God is Light. It's John's testimony of being with Jesus. Pause. John, 1 John 1, 1, 1, 2, 2, 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his words is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John from the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Our Gospel this morning is from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31, and can be found on page 1686 in your Pew Bible. John records, "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came, and he stood among them, and he said, 'Peace be with you.' And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them, and he said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.' Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came, and he stood among them, and he said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.' And Thomas said to him, 'My God, my Lord.' Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.' Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." You may be seated. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So, as I said earlier, today is the second Sunday of Easter. Hallelujah. He has risen. Hallelujah. And we read that he has appeared to some, which brings us to today. Today is, well, it's not actually, but I called it this, all right? So this isn't out of the scripture, but today is Roll Thomas Under the Bus Day. I needed to put that in there, though, because that's not good theology. But, you know, basically, Thomas is getting rolled over the bus. He didn't even hear the backup. And we know that there are people in this world who have never, ever picked up a Bible, but they know, they have heard the term Doubting Thomas. And the truth is that this label, it's inaccurate, and it's unfair. You need to remember with me that last week was Mark 16, verses 1 through 8, and we had heard about the bunch of Marys. Mary was a common name. A whole bunch of Marys. And other women are going to the tomb to prepare the body of Jesus. And that they found the stone had been rolled away upon entering. They saw an angel. And the angel told them that Jesus was not there, that he had risen as he had said he would. And this account is also recorded in Luke 24. However, I do want to share with you Luke 24, verses 10 and 11. Luke recorded, and he was interviewing first eyewitnesses there, right? And so Luke records, "Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them, the apostles, an idle tale, and they did not believe them." Did you catch that? They, meaning the apostles, did not believe them, the girls, Mary. And at this precise moment of time, the disciples were just as doubtful. They flat out did not believe. They were pagans. They were unbelievers. And so, Thomas missed out on an appearance of Jesus. And he said, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into his side," where the mark into his side, "I will never believe." John 20, 25. Okay, so Thomas is a doubter. But he's not the only doubter. But he is a pagan unbeliever as well. The point is that he was no better, no worse than any of the other apostles. They were all unbelievers, not just Thomas. So how come is Thomas the one to get singled out? How come Thomas has to carry the label Doubting Thomas through the centuries? Why don't we have labels like Pagan Peter or Unbelieving James or Matthew the Infidel? The fact is that not a single one of them truly believed until they saw Jesus in the flesh. And the fact of the matter is that the entire crew failed miserably. They were an embarrassment as disciples. That is what makes some of the other things that happened today in today's gospel truly amazing. First of all, Jesus showed up among them, and the words out of his mouth were, "Peace be with you." You know, he had every right to scold them vigorously. He could have said something like this: "You boneheads, I told you geniuses again and again and again that I was going to suffer, that I was going to die, and I was going to rise from the dead. You know, I have seen rocks next to the road that have a better understanding of my words than you do." Now, Jesus did not say that, but he could have. Jesus had every right to come on like that, but he did not. Instead, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." And then he said this. He showed them his hands, and he showed them his side. Jesus not only gave them his peace, but he invited them to check out the wounds of the crucifixion. His hands, his side. Jesus was full of grace and friendship. There was no condemnation whatsoever. Now, as if that was not crazy enough, Jesus took it up a notch. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And with these words, Jesus said that he is an apostle. We know that an apostle is the sent one, a sent one. So Jesus is saying that he is the apostle from God the Father. And in turn, his words appointed this group of underachievers as apostles, as sent ones. They are now sent from God the Son. And then we read that Jesus gave them special authority. He breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Jesus has just given the Holy Spirit to this small group of disciples, and he has given them authority to forgive and the authority to withhold forgiveness. All right, so let's just think about this for a minute. A few days earlier, Jesus endured false arrest, sadistic abuse at the hands of soldiers, several rigged trials where the priests were actually examining the perfect Lamb of God to find a blemish, and there just wasn't any. And he, in obedience, he endured those beatings, the floggings, the mocking, and the death by crucifixion. And during this process of abuse, he also endured the full wrath of God against your sins, against my sins, against the sins of the entire world. And he did this in order to purchase the forgiveness of sins for you. And now, he has taken that dearly won forgiveness of sins, and he has placed it in the hands of this group of underachievers. It cannot be overstated how strange and wonderful and amazing and bizarre and unusual that this is. That is, that Jesus would place his forgiveness in the care of these men. Men who a few hours earlier in the day had refused to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. Jesus has given his forgiveness to the church. In the small catechism, it covers this authority to forgive sins when it discusses the office of the keys. In there, it is written a question. It's the small catechism with explanation. And one of the questions is, what is the office of the keys? Well, the office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. Then there's another question in the small chism. It says, well, where is that written? This is what St. John the Evangelist writes in chapter 20. The Lord just breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. John 20, verses 22 and 23, pretty straightforward. And then the question is, well, what do you believe according to these words? And the response is, I believe that when called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and they absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. Pretty bold statement. Some of you may be going, whoa, 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 whoa. Did you just say that you, Pastor, are forgiving my sins? And the answer is no. I declare to you that Jesus has forgiven you your sins. Stay with me. This is important. So we exercise this authority earlier in the service. When you heard me say, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. And as your called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. These words are so precious and so valuable that even if the rest of the service is a total bust, if the sermon is dull, if the hymns are hard to sing, you or your neighbor are out of tune, let's just say. That doesn't happen here. No matter what goes wrong in the rest of the service, it is worth it to come just to hear those words of forgiveness. For those words of forgiveness, we receive the very forgiveness that Jesus gave to those underachieving disciples on the very day that he rose again from the dead. The same forgiveness. And there is great comfort for us in today's gospel reading. You know, all of us have messed up. We all fail regularly. This is a characteristic that we share with the disciples. Peter was notorious for sticking his foot in his mouth. And Jesus sometimes referred to James and John as the sons of thunder because of their temperaments. Apparently, guys had anger issues. All these disciples said that they were ready to die for Jesus, and then they all ran away. Today's gospel tells us that they were in a locked room out of fear. And when you consider your shortcomings and your failures, you can know that you are not all that different than these disciples. And just as Jesus came to these disciples with his peace and his forgiveness, he also comes to you today. The forgiveness that Jesus earned on the cross is for you. Today's gospel teaches that you receive it when you hear the words of absolution from your pastor. You also hear other verses in the scriptures that teach you that you also receive forgiveness whenever you hear the gospel of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins. You know, we have the promise of Jesus Christ Himself that we received in the water of holy baptism. And we receive it in the bread and the wine that are His body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. Jesus comes in all these ways to bring peace and to bring forgiveness to you. Now, Luther said once, he preached this, he said, "It is a great and excellent thing for the mouth of every honest minister and preacher to be Christ's mouth, and for His word and forgiveness to be Christ's word and forgiveness. If you sin and confess it, believing on Christ, then your minister and preacher will forgive you the same sin in Christ's place. And the words which he speaks on God's behalf, you ought to accept as if Christ Himself had spoken them to you." That's pretty heavy for a pastor. What an amazing thing it is that Jesus has promised to deliver the forgiveness of sins through the mouths of sinful men who are called to be pastors. This is an amazing thing. And an honest pastor knows more than anyone how sinful he is. He knows that he is not worthy to utter those words of forgiveness. And despite that, regardless, this sinning pastor can cheerfully forgive the sins of his people because it is Jesus who makes the promise. It is Jesus who forgives. The pastor is only the humble servant, a waiter, if you will, who brings the gifts of Jesus to God's people. What an amazing peace. What an amazing forgiveness. What an amazing Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. you please stand if you're able? Let's now together confess our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 3 of your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we humbly come before your throne of grace, acknowledging our great need for you. I pray that you would bless each person here in a special way and meet us at our point of need. If we need healing, you are our physician. If we are heartbroken, you bind up our wounds. If we feel lonely, you are with us. If we are anxious, you are our God of hope and peace. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help us serve you and each other in one accord. Lord, I pray that you would plant your word deep in our hearts. Help us cling to your truth and your promises. You said in your word that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, you are always with us. Thank you, Lord. We declare that you are our God. Jesus, you are our Savior. Holy Spirit, you are our comforter and our guide. You are holy. You are sovereign. You are more powerful than the darkness we see around us. We praise you for who you are. We praise you for giving up your life for us. And we thank you for all the ways that you have blessed us. We thank you for washing away our sins with your precious blood. We yield ourselves to you, Lord. We love you. And it's in your precious and your holy name, Jesus, name above all names, that we pray. Amen.
Will you please pray with me? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, and with them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made, for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly, we are bound to praise you for your glorious resurrection of our Lord. For he is the true Passover Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with the earth and the sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels and cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks, and then he broke it, giving it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks, and then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." For we know that as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, that we proclaim Christ's death, his resurrection, and his glorious coming again. Let us now pray together the prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The sacraments that Jesus instituted. The power comes from his promise. The forgiveness of sin doesn't come from the power that I have. You know me well enough. I don't have any power. The power comes from the words of Jesus. The power comes from his promise kept for you. To you. This sacrament has promised to rescue you from sin, death, and the devil, that it is a means of Jesus' grace. It is also a means of comfort and joy. Come, the table is prepared. The usher will bring you forward.
Thank you.
And now the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his perfect peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sending hymn is on page 389. It is Stand Up for Jesus.